For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Power Punch.
Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome to Power Punch. So glad to have you here with us. My name is Larry Behrens. I am the communications director for a fantastic organization called Power the Future. And you, my friend, have stumbled into the zone of the Power Punch. It is a place where we try for the allotted time that we have, for the time that we can steal, before the Biden Gestapo comes and shuts us down, the time we can steal each week to give you the unvarnished truth as to what's going on. And I say that proudly, but let's just be honest. You already know the truth. You're living it. We all are. We're all having to go through it. I guess we're just going to try to see through the maze of insanity that comes out of Washington, D.C. And maze is probably the nicest word you can use. Smoke screen, complete obliteration of insanity. It really is. Insane is the only word to use. It really is insane. The disconnect that there is there in Washington. I call it the luxury of detachment, where they think going to meetings all day is work, where they think sending a letter or giving a soundbite is fighting. And meanwhile, the rest of us out here are like, no, we have to create things. We have to build things. We have to put food on the table for things. That's real work. And the understanding between that reality and the disconnect in Washington, D.C. is becoming ever so wide. It's a Grand Canyon size schism. There you go. That's an SAT word. Yeah, SAT. I can spell it. Well, anyway, I'm glad you're here with us because we got a lot to talk about today. And you know what? We've already kind of stumbled into it. We're going to talk about the way things are, very generally speaking. And when I say the way things are, that can mean obviously a lot of things. But what I really mean is the way things are for you, for me, for all of us trying to get by right now. I don't know if you're feeling it. If you're not feeling it, you certainly sense it going on with your neighbors and your friends. I have to be honest, it's been weighing on my mind. I look around and I just see and feel faces of quiet desperation. We know that everyone's struggling, including ourselves, trying to figure out the answers in this, terrible disaster of an economy that Joe Biden has handed us. And the answers are hard to find. They're so very hard to find. We work hard, still not enough. Get another job, still not enough. Try to maybe cut back on some of the things that, we would consider splurges so that our kids have what they need. It's just not enough. And everyone is broke. It seems like next step is for everyone to get mad. Then after that, we're all getting desperate. And these are steps that none of us want. And I wish I could say, call this number and here's all the answers. I am not going to lie to you. The answers I have, how to deliver us out of it quickly, are few and far between. And I'll give you the few that I have. But the answers about how we got here, we need to seriously examine that. And we all know how we got here. Well, I shouldn't say we all know. Because, there's a few that just don't know. Here is an election denier, an election loser, Stacey Abrams this week. I think she was talking to old Psaki, Jen Psaki, on her MSNBC radio show. This is, they sense the desperation too, but the cause is, you'll hear it. It's misplaced.
We have to remember what we face if we want to continue to hold on the progress we've had. But we can't ignore the fact that people's lives are harder. And this is not because of the president. It is because of global issues and international challenges and market conditions and a whole host of things that don't matter to you when you're sitting at your kitchen table.
So they know things are bad, but they super duper pinky swear promise it's not Joe Biden's fault. Because if it's Joe Biden's fault, that means it's also Jen Psaki's fault. That means it's also Stacey Abrams' fault. And every other sycophant that follows with them. And I'm talking about those guys in the media. I'm talking about those guys there on Capitol Hill. I'm talking about everyone who doesn't give an ounce of scrutiny to Joe Biden. Yeah, Cori Bush, talking about you too, doesn't give an ounce of scrutiny to Joe Biden for this abysmal economic disaster that he has created. That, you know, Joe Biden likes to talk a lot. Yeah, I'll use the words. He likes to talk a lot about man-made disasters. Well, we have a man-made economic disaster. And make no mistake, the man that's made it is Joe Biden. Let me just give you, there's going to be a lot of numbers here, and I don't mean to confuse you or overload you with them, but they're important because they're reflective of what's going on in the world, or at least as close as we can reflect it here. Nearly 75% working adults here in the United States of America, where you and I live, they're stressed about their personal finances. 75%, that number may be low, but let's just assume for discussion's sake that that's accurate. It was according to a new survey. 61% of Americans are reporting that we're living paycheck to paycheck. That is where we're at right now. And I wish I could maybe put that on a billboard and put one of those Joe Biden, I did that stickers right next to it. Because he did. He's responsible for it. And I can't articulate correctly what it looks like when you see a media organization, and I'm talking about the mainstream media in general, when you see them knowing the suffering of everyday Americans and they just won't report on it. And when they do, they'll sakiize it and say, it's totally, you know, the global issues happen. Help me out. For every president in the history of ever, hasn't there been global issues? At one point, I have to ask myself, I'm kind of like that, those reviewers in Office Space, and the employee comes in, Joe Biden sits down, pulls up a chair. He's tripped 3 times over the stairs to get into the office. And I say, Joe, we're reviewing your performance here, and we noticed that, you know, 75% of Americans don't feel good. 61% are living paycheck to paycheck. The economy's in the doldrums, Joe. And then Joe starts mumbling, and when he does get out a coherent sentence, he's like, well, you know, the global situation is really tough. And here's what I would say. Joe, the global situation is tough with every president. You take the job knowing that factors outside the United States are going to impact things. And if you're going to sit back and head to the beach like you do every weekend, blame it on the global disaster, we have to ask, what exactly is it that you do here, Joe? Well, I'm a communicator. I'm just kidding. We know he's not a communicator. But speaking of communication, it happened this week. And this has happened, I want to say, 4 out of the last 5 months. You know, it was a couple of weeks ago, Joe Biden came out with some job numbers. He was very excited. We talked about him here. He's very excited. Over like 330,000 jobs created, according to Joe. He was so excited. He held a press conference. You know, when he gets out of bed before 10 a.m., you know, stumbles up the stairs and to the microphone, Dr. Jill directs him, which way to go, and has a press conference, you know he's really excited. And he was really excited about these jobs numbers. Well, lo and behold, this week, what happened? For the fourth time in the last 5 months, they were revised down, and not just like a tick or two. They had claimed that they created over 330,000 jobs. And now they admit that that number was off only by about 100,000. If only Joe Biden was only 33% wrong. Can you imagine how lucky we would be? There's going to be no press conference. And the media, like the good little lapdogs they are in Washington, covered it perfectly. Look at this jobs numbers, jobs numbers, jobs numbers. And then 2 weeks later, when the truth comes out that it was actually 100,000 less, that the biggest job creator was the government, that the other private sector jobs are people actually having to get a second job because 61% are living paycheck to paycheck. Not a peep, not a whisper. Inflation. We all know what it is now, remains the primary source of financial worries impacting American workers today. 61% of us, only 61%, say inflation contributes to the anxiety about money. High cost of living and inflation eat away at people's sense of financial security. I'm reading from a story. I wouldn't use words like this, but according to Bankrate, nearly 1 in 3 people have emergency savings, but none have enough to deal with the current emergency. And 22% of us don't have any emergency savings at all. So how are we getting by? Well, again, this is not going to be news to you, but just on the hopes that some bureaucratic DC goon is listening. Hey, Cori Bush office, does your radio work? Here's what's going on. We're using our credit cards. Credit card debt has topped $1 trillion for the first time in record. Credit card balances went from $45 billion to over $1 trillion. Total household debt has reached $17.6 trillion. That's almost Ukraine money. That is insane. And that's how we're getting by. We're going into our 401ks early. Why? Because we want to finance a trip to Cabo? No. Because our weekend beach trip, like Uncle Joe's? No. We're doing it for groceries. We're doing it so that we can eat food. That is what Joe Biden has delivered to us. And it's starting to creep out, if not to the media, at least on social media. So grocery store prices are rising. This was a story, I think, from those knuckleheads at USA Today. And social media users want to talk about it. Yeah, that's how you frame it. Grocery store prices are up and we want to talk. We want to have a conversation. No. We just like you would take a photo of a disaster, of a flood, of a tornado, of a disaster right in front of you. People are taking photos of their grocery store receipts and the money of what it, I should say, didn't buy. Here's the words. A cart full of ingredients for sandwiches and tacos, enough for four lunches and a couple of dinners for just two people, for a woman named Shiloh Lewis, for her and her husband, plus they had an 18-pack of beer. It cost just under $100. She snapped a photo of it, posted it on Facebook, and it was in disbelief, essentially saying, $100 only buys this. She says, if it keeps going up, I don't know how so many people are going to be able to continue to eat. It is, I have never in my life, and I'm getting older, so I can say this now, never in my life seen such a five-alarm fire. The inferno is going, and 911 isn't answering. Joe Biden won't break the emergency glass to put it out. I've never in my life seen such a huge disaster go completely ignored, as is the plight of everyday Americans right now, just trying to get by. Don't you? I remember when Democrats were supposed to care about poor people. Do you remember that? He has caused a man-made economic disaster. Americans are hurting to the tune of trillions upon trillions of dollars in debt, just trying to get by. Not to worry, though, boys and girls. Joe Biden at the beach this weekend and probably next weekend as well, because, you know, nothing says I care like a taxpayer-funded jaunt to the beach. We're broke. We're mad. And we're getting desperate. Joe Biden isn't only oblivious to it, going to the beach. He's lying to us about it with his jobs numbers. We know the truth. We know who caused it. And next, we're going to talk a little bit more about why it is the way it is. And, well, I'd like to say offer some solutions. But, well, if nothing else, we'll talk about it. Maybe I'll be a little more happy coming up in the next segment. I'm glad you're here with me. You're listening to Power Punch right here. We're going to be right back.
Get more Power Punch at newstalkstl.com. Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Power Punch, and this is, if you're interested, my fake enthusiasm radio voice. It's meant to display excitement, but after that last segment, I'm not going to try to, you know, pull the wool over your eyes. It's hard to have that excitement, but the excitement that is genuine is that you're here with me and we're learning together. Anytime you want to, you know, send to me your love letters, Larry at Power of the Future, all one word, Larry at powerthefuture.com. I'm at Larry Behrens on the Twitters. Love to hear from you, hear what you think about the show, hear what you think is going on. And you know what? If you want to get really crazy and send me some of those photos of your grocery haul, I didn't even get to the other ones that were in there, right? I mean, for two people, however many meals, it's insane. But we're gonna switch gears a little bit, and I'm gonna throw to you a crazy idea, and I'm gonna throw to you. I'll be honest with my bias about it. When we talk about inflation in the United States, and this is the worst inflation that we've seen since, you know, Jimmy Carter was trying to figure out where the thermostat was in the White House, you know, since Empire Strikes Back was in theaters. We talk about the loss of buying power and really what was the trigger for it. And Joe Biden will tell you it was Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine, even though things were getting crazy even before then. But I would argue, and again, I know I come from the energy world, so I may have the gasoline colored goggles on, as it were, but it has to be energy. And let me explain my thinking here. And then we'll get into what happened this week. It is, it's not a lot of hot air. It's a lot of no air. But when you look at Joe Biden, when he is sworn into office, I want to say that that Gallup approval rating was around about 60%. And by August, he was what we call in the political world underwater. That means more people dislike you than like you. And he has been there ever since. 4 years of a first term, and he has spent nearly 2.5 years now underwater. Like unpopular, more people in the United States not liking him. And we have to look at, if you look at the price of gasoline and when it started to creep $3 and north of that, like we're paying now, that's when Joe Biden first started to lose the faith of the American people, if he ever had it to begin with. And he went underwater and hasn't recovered because he hasn't changed one iota. And that's what I'm talking about when I say he won't break the emergency gas of unleashing American energy. That would help your grocery bill. But let's just go back in the time machine. So he goes underwater, cancels Keystone Pipeline, leases the fewest acres for oil production of any president since Harry Truman. And not to disparage Harry Truman, you know, it was just that's when they started keeping track of the numbers. And we start to see the gasoline prices go through the roof. By June of 2022, we have $5 a gallon diesel. That's the national average. I'm not just talking about those insanos out in California. Those guys are paying $7 a gallon. I'm talking about you, me, and those of us here who work for a living, paying over $5 a gallon for diesel. And I know what the Cori Bushes of the world is going to say. The Cori Bush voters are like, I don't own a diesel car. Work with me, Einstein. Diesel is the fuel that delivers everything to your house. The store you bought it at, it was brought there using a diesel truck. It was probably processed using diesel fuel. It may have been mined, excavated, and otherwise put together using diesel fuel. And when the cost of that goes up, something so foundational like that, then lo and behold, the cost of everything goes up. And we're seeing the results of that. That Joe Biden saw this snowball going down the hill, bigger and bigger and bigger, and does nothing. And the avalanche that we are under today is because of Joe Biden doing nothing. It is simple. And you can accuse me of what you want, eco-leftist. We'll get to you guys here in a little bit. But you can accuse me of what you want. Say, oh, you're just looking at everything through energy. You're just a guy who can only see it. All I'm telling you is the facts. Gas prices were the highest ever under Joe Biden. And now we have inflation to match it. And when did that inflation start showing up? About the same time those gas prices went through the roof. And I believe Joe Biden probably was just, you know, staring out the window all listful at the White House, wondering, well, I knew I was going to hurt them by terrible gas prices. I didn't know it was also going to be grocery prices. I didn't know it was also going to be home mortgages. But you know what? Now it's all coming home to roost for his buddies as well. It happened this week, ladies and gentlemen. So we're struggling to buy groceries. Did you know that Joe Biden has a slush fund. Of course you did, but I'm not talking about the one that Hunter gives him for the big guy. Joe Biden has a green slush fund with your money and mine. It's worth billions of dollars, and he's not afraid to use it. It was reported this week that the CEO and lobbyist for the electric vehicle manufacturer Rivian got a quiet meeting at the White House. And when I say quiet, I mean they didn't publicize it. They didn't do it. Nobody talked about the Rivian CEO didn't say, oh, I'm going to the White House. And who'd they meet with? Did they meet with Uncle Joe? No. This meeting was at the top of the stairs. Joe couldn't make it. They met with John Podesta. And again, I hate to continue to digress, but let's continue to digress. John Podesta was Bill Clinton's chief of staff at the White House. He is a political operative. When Donald Trump was in office, John Podesta took jobs consulting at green companies to help them figure out how to get that sweet, sweet money from governments like probably California's that were doling it out so that they can get the green agenda money. And then lo and behold, the Inflation Reduction Act passes. $369 billion for the green agenda is in that bill. Cori Bush voted for it. And Joe Biden is now the person who all these green CEOs are beating a path to his door. And you have to ask why. So according to media reports, Rivian, the company that met with John Podesta, you know, the guy who is now in charge of doling out the $369 billion, a political operative, not an energy guy, and the only green energy he's had is the money flowing into his bank account. They met with him because they're deep in the red. In 2022, they lost $6.8 billion. 2021, it was $4.7 billion in losses. In 2020, they lost $1 billion. Again, it's almost Ukraine money that they're losing here. They have not turned a profit. In fact, their losses in the billions are getting bigger and bigger year after year. So why are they showing up at the White House? You know why. It happened this week. They wanted to get a sweet bailout. And here's how it's going to work. And here's what you're going to see for the next year plus as part of the election. Joe Biden and John Podesta have this political money, not green money. They're able to use our dollars because we have a Democrats in Congress forced us this down our throats, this Inflation Reduction Act. By the way, in talking with all those grocery bills, how's the inflation going for you? Has it been reduced? Anyway, they have all these dollars. And what they're going to do is all these companies that are losing billions are going to quietly go to the White House and say, hey, man, we're going to go under because no one's buying our lousy product. And even though the media loves us and even though you heavily subsidize us, we're not going to be able to make ends meet. We're going to go under. And Joe Biden's not going to have that. He's not going to have that on his record. These companies are not too big to fail for Joe Biden. They're too favored to fail. And he is going to use our money to bail them out. And it'll look like this. It'll be just a nice, beautiful, pristine day. And they'll have those prefab signs there saying, oh, investing in America. And they'll show up at some little town and the Rivian CEO will be up there saying, look at what we're going to do. We're going to open this place and this thing and it's going to be great. And we won't know that John Podesta threw a ton of money at Rivian to be able to do that or any other eco company that's making a product we don't want to buy. And then it'll never come to pass. Now, how do I know it'll never come to pass? I'll tell you. Because again, I'm love saying that today. It happened this week. New Jersey lost what was going to be, at the time it was announced, the largest offshore wind farm in the world. Back in April 2022, Governor Phil Murphy, who is a Biden acolyte who loves the green agenda, he has been closing down affordable energy all over his state in order to have wind. And he just was gushing. He was like, we're going to have this company. I won't even mention their name because I don't know how much longer they're going to be in business. We're going to have this company and they're going to build this project and it's going to be great. And then they looked at the inflation. Then they looked at the interest rates and they said, New Jersey, I don't know if we're going to be able to make it. And New Jersey came running back to the table like, you know, like I was in high school, the nerd guy trying to take the cheerleader to prom. And they said, no, we'll give you more tax credits. They signed off barely, but they signed off just in June on another $1 billion worth of tax credits. That was money that was supposed to go to people paying their electric bill in New Jersey. Instead, the company that was supposed to build this big wind farm was going to keep it. And the wind farm was going to go forward, and the unicorns would fly, and the fairies would cheer, and it would just be wonderful. Then on Halloween, Governor Murphy and Joe Biden got a trick instead of a treat. The company announced, yeah, this isn't going to financially work for us. We're pulling out. They just left. You can look it up. One of the largest wind turbine manufacturers cannot make one of the largest wind projects in the country financially work. Now, they're going to cite inflation, which is true, and interest rates, which is true. But you have to consider what they already had. They already had millions and if not billions of dollars of our tax help. Oh, by the way, Rivian gets tens of millions in tax breaks already. But this wind farm had all the help, and they still couldn't make it work. They still couldn't make the 1 + 1 = 2 when it came to turning a profit. And the New Jersey governor was mad. He was really upset because, well, lo and behold, they took $1 billion in tax credits. And now he's just all, he's criticizing the company. They're not a financially viable company, and we never should have been in business. I mean, keep in mind, it was just last year he was saying how great they were. This is the amount of research and insight the Green Agenda does. And they're going to try to claw some of the money back. And they're probably going to, if it works out to the best that they hope for, they're going to get 20 cents on the dollar. That's what they're going to get. That's it. That money is gone forever. And I started thinking about it. And I hate to give another history lesson, but I'm going to give another history lesson. Do you remember when Barack Obama came into office? We had to have a fat stimulus. And part of the stimulus was we had to have shovel-ready projects. Well, it turned out that that money went to a lot of Obama's friends, right? We had to have $90 billion for green initiatives. This was 2009. Joe Biden was in charge of that money. I'm not making it up. And he sent a good chunk of it to a little country or a little company called Solyndra. They fail. The MO of the Democrats in Congress in Washington is to just get a fatter and fatter chunk of our tax dollars, shove it out the door as quickly as they can, particularly if it's just like right now, right? 1 year before election time, because that'll really help, because some of that could end up back in their campaign coffers. That would be really nice, wouldn't it? And they shove it out as quickly as they can, and they cut ribbons, and they have big announcements, and everything's great, and then it all just goes to, I don't have a beeper here in my studio. And in no time, we don't get those dollars back. Our prices are going up, but it doesn't matter, because Joe Biden will still have a slush fund to help his friend. And I'll tell you something else that's about to happen. Mark my words. There's this little thing, a little known aspect of the Inflation Reduction Act. I'm not making it up. It's called a green bank. And they take our tax dollars and they take radical environmentalists and they form these green banks. The environmentalists sit on the board and the money that they have is your money and my money. And then they decide who gets money. It's a scheme so exquisite, you'd have to admire it if it wasn't destroying our country. Hey, speaking of destroying our country, we're going to take a look at the border next. Keep it tuned right here. You're listening to Power Punch. I hope you'll stick with us. Last segment coming up. In all your ways, it falls
on me. It falls on me. Get more Power Punch with Larry Behrens at newstalkstl.com. You're listening to Power Punch with Larry Behrens on Newstalk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on Newstalk STL.
Welcome back to Power Punch. So glad you've stuck with us for so long. You know, when I put the show together, I try to say, you know, let's have at least a half. And I couldn't find the happy place this week. I'm sorry. And so maybe next week, a double dose of happy place. But it is, it was hard to come by this week because there is, you know, I hate the bureaucrats using the word perfect storm, because when a little word like that gets in their lexicon, the other one is at the end of the day. Another one is laser focused. These things that they do that make it sound like action. My favorite one too is, let me be clear, which I, guilty, I've used it. Let me be clear. No one's stopping you from being clear, but we do have a perfect storm. And let me be clear, Joe Biden is the one in charge of it, and who is literally just, I mean, Nero would look at Joe Biden and be like, wow, I mean, at least I only fiddled. That's how bad we've achieved it. And let me give you some idea here. Let's go to the United States southern border, because we got lots of problems. We're going to play a clip here. And this is what is happening this week at the border. And it's all good news.
A 3,000 to 5,000 person caravan is heading to the United States, among them migrants from Cuba, Guatemala, and Venezuela. But a different group are arriving at the U.S. border in Mexico's north.
It's completely shocking to see all of these people here crossing from Central Asia, from China, from Turkey, from all over the world. It's very unusual for this area.
No matter the country of origin, facilities in the U.S. are running out of room.
But the blame for that should really go, in my opinion, to the White House and to the governor. All we are able to do now is choose the best of pretty bad solutions.
So it's only 5,000 people just showing up, and you don't have to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You have to ask, how do 5,000 people feel empowered to just walk into a country at one time, unless they have some type of assurance that there's not going to be any issues? I wouldn't risk it. Any rational person wouldn't risk it, but they know it's going to be okay and everything's going to be taken care of, because Uncle, you know, falling on the stairs Joe, or Robert L. Peters, or whatever else. I didn't even get to all those emails this week. He's going to make it okay. And it's going to be all right. And we were talking, and it's like, how we just do not have an estimate on the millions of people we have let in here. And listen, take your racist card, put it back in your pocket, and maybe stick it somewhere else. I grew up in New Mexico. I grew up 80 miles from the Mexican border. You don't get to tell me what it's like down there and how I'm just a detached guy who just take your racist card and burn it. Because it's not going to do you any good here, because this is a real fight that we're in right now at the border. And sadly, the problems have already come home to roost. After the attack on Israel, terror threats loom at the U.S. southern border. This was the Washington Examiner this week. That's right. We all know what's happening. We're concerned that our enemies have a front door wide open to our homes. And they do. And it's the southern border. And it's open for a reason. Earlier this month, Hamas launched the biggest attack, right, since the Holocaust on the Jewish population. Over 6,000 miles away, we too face a crisis at our borders. Americans have lived through the crime, fentanyl deaths, and human trafficking that have come with an open border. I just got to pause right there. Fentanyl, killing so many people. Human trafficking, an abhorrent practice. And that is all okay with Joe Biden. That is all perfectly acceptable, because there is a bigger agenda that he needs to accomplish. Customs and Border Protection has encountered over 7 million illegal aliens since January 2021 who have poured across President Joe Biden's open border. This does not include more than 1.5 million known gotaways. A gotaway is a "I see you and I can't capture you." And at least 172 of those migrants that they apprehended at the ports of entry matched those on a terrorist watch list during the fiscal year 2023. That compares to 3 in 2020. For those who are good at the math, that's an increase of over 5,000%. Yeah, the silence doesn't begin to describe it. And when you look at what happened in Israel and the Hamas butchers, that was a protected border. That was a country protecting their border. what's happening with ours. 123 known terrorists. And those are the ones we caught at our border. Hey, it gets funner. Just this week, a radical Jordanian, and now full disclosure, okay, Cori Bush fans, before you get mad, I understand this guy did not come across the southern border, but we'll get there. A radical Jordanian national living in Texas was allegedly plotting an attack on Houston's Jewish community. He's been arrested on gun charges. I cannot pronounce his name. I won't even try. But he allegedly made a direct reference in one social media post about an event in Houston for the Jewish community, according to court documents that CNN obtained. Now, he's currently behind bars on charges of unlawful possession of a firearm by someone with a non-immigrant visa by a U.S. magistrate. And he's, the judge has said he has to stay in jail during trial. Again, these are little victories. I'll take them. I'll take him. He spoke of committing martyrdom in support of religious causes and made statements that he wants to go to Gaza and fight. But he didn't go to Gaza, did he? Isn't it amazing how they hate our country so much? They're all clamoring to get here. I had, I think I've told you before, but a story, I think it was Dinesh D'Souza, related a story that he was watching TV once. This was in the 80s with a professor. And it was the typical scene that we see of these angry folks in the Middle East just burning an American flag, probably burning an Israeli flag too. So kudos to them for not really coming up with any new tricks. But they're burning the flag, and Dinesh was like, I'm so mad when they burn our flag. And the professor says, you know what they never burn? They never burn our money. It's true. Mr. Tough Guy was going to go back to Gaza, but decided instead that he was going to kill innocent people here in the United States. Now, he came into the United States, I believe, back in 2019, just so everyone knows I'm being fair. He had entered the U.S. on a non-immigrant visa. Oh, it expired in 2019, but has since applied for asylum. He wants to kill citizens of the country that he is begging for asylum. He obtained work authorization in the United States until 2025. And we said, okay, stick around, buddy. Here's the thing. How do we get 87,000 new IRS agents, but no new Border Patrol agents? How do we get 87,000 new IRS agents and we don't have anyone checking the online comments of people we've given visas to? They're asking for asylum in our country, but they post online they want to kill Jews. And then we only, we don't revoke that visa. There is work opportunity here. I mean, that's a government job I think most of us would be okay with. Joe Biden creating that one. Hey, I'm just going to check the social media posts of these people that are, in our country begging for asylum. And if they, threaten to kill our citizens, maybe we ship them out of the country. He wants to go to Gaza anyway. Let him go to Gaza. But no, it won't happen. But then again, it happened this week again, didn't it? There was a bill, new Speaker of the House decided that he was going to take the Israeli aid money that Joe Biden wanted and try to figure out a common sense way to pay for it. And you know what he thought? He goes, let's cancel those IRS agents. We don't need that. Department of Interior, that's undermining our energy. Yeah, you're going to see a budget cut too, and that'll pay for it. That'll pay for the money to Israel. And what did the left do? They voted against it. Cori Bush, yeah, you did. You care so much about the plight of innocent citizens butchered that less than a month later, you voted against the bill to send them money. And they freak out, right? Why isn't the Ukraine money part of this? Why do we have to get rid of IRS agents with it? Joe Biden's threatened to veto the bill. Call that bluff, boys and girls. Call that bluff. You go right ahead, Joe Biden. Swear that you stand with Israel and then go ahead and veto that bill. Let's see how that works. Well, this is something that it's not going to cheer you up, but the chances that it could cheer you up are a little higher. I'm just lying to you. It's not going to cheer you up at all. Hey, boys and girls, this week there is a debate. I believe it's on Wednesday. And here is the thing. If you've never been with or checked out the Media Research Center Newsbusters. These are some good folks doing fantastic work. And there's a debate on Wednesday, and they took a look at the moderators. The moderators are nightly news anchor Lester Holt and Meet the Press host Kristen Welker. Yeah, I'm going to call it Meet the Depressed. RIP Rush. Miss you, buddy. And they're going to be the moderators along with talk show host Hugh Hewitt. And so there are two schools of thought here. I'm not going to say who's right. We know who's right. But the Republican Party has come under fire for picking these yahoos to moderate the debate. And when you take a look at what they've said in the past, you can understand why. And so this is some interesting questions. And I'll just go to the back of the article here. My favorite one was Lester Holt when he interviewed Donald Trump Jr. He literally asked Donald Trump Jr., "Can your dad cry?" This guy gets to moderate a debate. Here's what's the question. This was, I'm quoting Lester Holt here. Quote, "You and your siblings have been very effective this week trying to paint a picture of your dad. You know, the dad that you know. At the same time, when you look at, when you think about a president, strength is obviously important. But we also sometimes look for our leaders to be compassionate, to console us during a national tragedy. We saw President Obama." That's right, the patron saint of consoling us. President Obama in Dallas a week or so ago. We haven't seen that Donald Trump. Is this a man that can cry? Can he emote? This was in July of 2016. This is the guy that they want to moderate the debate. It's going to be insane. Let me see. There's and we got some more of the new Meet the Depressed host right here. So she was, she was upset. She was upset with Kamala Harris. She upset with Kamala Harris because Kamala Harris was the border czar. And as we mentioned, the border is just in shambles. No, she mentioned she upset with Kamala Harris. Well, there's any number of things, but no, she was upset that Kamala Harris is not sufficiently progressive. That's right. Quote, Kamala Harris has had a rapid ascent in California's legal circles, rising from county prosecutor in San Francisco district attorney to a California attorney general, cultivating a moderate political reputation and inviting criticism from some liberals that she was insufficiently progressive on criminal justice issues. She looked at California, this host of Meet the Depressed, Kristen Welker. She looked at the crime scene in California and said, Kamala Harris, she may not be progressive enough when it comes to crime. She looked at the absolute landscape of disaster and said that Kamala Harris was not. Oh, my gosh. So that'll be Wednesday night. Again, tune in if you want to. I know in the past I've told you, we should be informed and they should be answering your questions. But yet these two yahoos, can Donald Trump try and cry? And Kamala Harris is not progressive enough. Oh, there's more. There's more over from our friends at Newsbusters from the Media Research Center talking about what they did. Oh, yeah, this is what Welker said to Trump. Mr. President, your administration separated children from their parents at the border, at least 4,000 kids. You've since reversed your zero tolerance policy, but the United States can't locate the parents of more than 500 children. So how will these families ever be reunited? And then she asked the question to Biden saying, the Obama administration, they're great on the border. So there's two schools of thought here. One is the eventual Republican nominee, who may not even be on the stage Wednesday night, is going to have to deal with hard questions. Maybe they're thinking, okay, this should be how it is. But we'll let you figure it out. That's coming up Wednesday night. I am out of time. How did that happen? Yep, the red light's on. The Biden Gestapo is closing in. So I got to get going. But I hope you'll be here with me next week for another edition of Power Punch. See you then.
Get more Power Punch at NewstalkSTL.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on Newstalk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.